Today on the Nerdiest Podcast, we're going to be going over some of the news topics that have come up in the last few weeks, including some new trailers for shows we're excited about and the Nintendo Tomodachi Life presentation, while also talking about what we've been watching and going over some of the Oscar nominees that we're not so sure about. You will not want to miss it. Hello and welcome to the Nerdiest Podcast, the show where nerds talk about nerdy things. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Jackson Glass, and today we're doing kind of a free-flow episode, nothing like super intensely planned, but there was a lot of news topics that we felt like were worth covering that we want to go over on this episode. Also, it's just been a minute. It's kind of the end of January. We're just kind of being casual, recapping our weeks, while also talking about the Oscars 2026 are happening in March, but all of the nominations just came out, so we will be talking about that as well. So hope that you're ready for a more casual episode today. Hope you stick to the end, and yeah, that's not about that. But Mr. Nick, tell me, let's jump right into it. How was your week?
What have we missed? Goodness, bro, I'm dying over here. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Well, as most people who live in the continental United States would know, over here in the eastern part of the country, we got mollywopped with a winter snowstorm. Some people got snow, some people got ice, some people got both. I happened to fall into the category of people who got both, and I did not leave the house for 6 days.
Yeah.
Which you might think, I would love to stay home for 6 days. No.
No.
No, you would not. Because the problem is, it's not. It's one thing if you're like, I'm choosing to stay home for 6 days. I'm making a choice that I'm going to stay home. But if I wanted to, you know, run out and get a burger, you know, go on a walk, do something, like, sure.
Go to the store.
That's great. Like, but you can't if your driveway is frozen solid, all the sidewalks are frozen solid, and it's below freezing. So it wasn't
for
great.
For 6 days.
But you know what? It could have been worse. I know people who were without power for 4 days.
Yeah.
And we were blessed enough to not lose power, so we still had heat and, you know, food and all that stuff. So I'm, like, not going to complain. Like, it sucks. I got stuck at home with heat and
air. I had to play games all day.
Oh, man. You know, and I got to work from home, so it's not like I had to go without work.
Right.
So it could have been worse. And I'm blessed that it wasn't, so I'm not really going to sit and complain and be like, oh my gosh, poor me. But it was nice to get out of the house yesterday. First thing I did as soon as we cleared the driveway was I went out and got a burger. I was like, I haven't had a burger in like 6 days. I need a burger.
Have the diet of like an 8-year-old. Like,
thank you.
It really is just like, oh, I need a cheeseburger. Like, I have to not even a cheeseburger.
Which, like, is funny because when I was 8, I did not like cheeseburgers.
That's so funny. Yeah, we have also been hitting the cabin fever this week. We went out last Friday. We went to dinner because we were like, and we're not like go out to nice dinner people. Like, that's not our vibe at all. And we were like, no, we're going to a nice dinner because we know we're going to be inside for like a week and a half. Like, it's not going away. So we had a nice dinner Friday, and then it was like Saturday, Sunday. See, snow weekend is always so much fun, especially like, because that's when snow weekend feels like snow day did when you were a kid. Because as a kid, you're like, oh, it's snowing. I'm going to go outside. There's no school. And I was homeschooled, so we always just had school anyway. But it's like, oh, it's snowing. Let's go outside. Let's do this. Let's watch a movie. Let's do hot cocoa. Let's do that. And then snow weekend is over, and you're like, oh, it's Monday. And we live in a post-COVID society that learned what was essential and what could go online, which means the world doesn't stop.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of over it now. I've been able to go out just a little bit because the roads are still really rough, because it just keeps, like, it'll melt a little bit and then freeze again, and it'll melt a little bit and then freeze again. And so it's just kind of like, layers of black ice just like keep forming. And I don't know how we're going to get out of this, dog, quite frankly. Like, it's going to be another week or so before it's all gone. Because this is way too much snow, way too much ice, just for like a 2-day melt period.
I should have you know it's snowing right now as you speak.
Oh, awesome. It's a little sunny here, so hoping...
You lucked out then, huh?
So hoping that all of our listeners who have been affected by this snowstorm, hoping that you guys have been warm and safe and with power. But, yeah. In the snowstorm, what have you been doing in your snowstorm?
Well, as I was stuck at home all weekend, well, for starters, my fiance has been here the last couple weeks. She came down to visit, so she's been here, which also kind of worked out nice because normally, like, I still have to go into work, so she just kind of stays at home and does stuff while I'm at work. But it was nice. We got a lot of extra time this week because I was able to work from home. But outside of that, because we were stuck at home all weekend, I was finally able to finish Hyrule Warriors Age of Imprisonment.
Wonderful.
Long time coming. Did not finish it before Final Fantasy got here, but I told myself I'm not playing Final Fantasy until I finish Hyrule Warriors. So I freaking locked in on Saturday and said, we're finishing this game. So I kind of started just speedrunning the story. And I will say, the story is really good. I won't spoil anything because I know it's still a relatively new game. But the story is really good. I think it has one of the better stories out of all of the Hyrule Warriors games, mainly because the first Hyrule Warriors was kind of like this mashup of all the Zelda characters coming together. Like, it was kind of just a crazy crossover one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Age of Calamity tried to be what Age of Imprisonment was, but then it had that weird, like, well, we're going to do a timeline split, and then the new champions are going to come back in time with the old ones, and then, like, they're going to actually defeat Ganon instead of all of them dying. And what Age of Imprisonment did really well is, like, if you've played Tears of the Kingdom, you know, oh, this is how the imprisoning war goes. Obviously, it leads into the events of Tears of the Kingdom, and that's kind of how it all plays out.
Yeah.
But then they gave you these other two characters, the, like, mysterious construct and this little, like, Korok guy named Kalima. And they give you these two characters, and they're kind of framed as the main characters who you follow. So even though you know, like, bad things are going to happen to all of these other characters, these two characters still have their own solidified arc that they go through. And kind of like what I talked about on that episode with Andres Restart, our theories about Kalima ended up being true, which I guess is a spoiler. Sorry, you guys. but if you haven't watched the episode, you wouldn't know. So I think it did end really well. And I just think it ties everything up and it's good. And I think it's a good send off to this era of Zelda. And I feel like we don't need to, like, there's nowhere else. Nintendo has pretty much covered every different angle you could to milk this version of the Zelda franchise.
Right.
So I
that,
am
like,
very much
Breath of the Wild era of
I am very much ready to move on to the next Zelda thing. And I don't say that because I dislike those games, cuz like Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom are some of my favorite games of all time.
Of course.
But when you have two mainline games and two Warriors games, DLC for Breath of the Wild, DLC for Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, like, it's time to move on.
Right.
And I say that also as someone who's hoping for an Ocarina of Time remake this year.
Right.
But at the same time, like, yes, that's a remake, but also, like, they're going to do something different for the next Zelda. So that was that was nice to just finish that and have, like, another game finished. So now I can start Final Fantasy whenever I have the time to do that. Outside of that,
and also that Switch 2 performance.
That's true.
Listen.
Listen. All I'm saying, I haven't started Final Fantasy yet, but I have heard everyone who has played it, it says it looks great. It looks great, runs great, does everything it's supposed to, and I'm like, good. And it's been sold out everywhere for, like, a week.
Dang.
And which is so funny because everyone's like, well, nobody likes game key cards. Game key cards are evil. If you lived exclusively on Nintendo Twitter, you would be convinced that the general populace thinks Mario Kart World is bad, the Switch 2 is failing, and everyone hates key cards.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, as someone who has one foot in Nintendo Twitter and one foot in the real world, none of those things are true.
Yeah.
So every now and then, just go outside and touch grass.
Touch grass.
So outside of that, me and the fiance have been binging through The Office. We watched all of season 7 last week, which what's crazy is I didn't realize how much they set up in season 7 for the last 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Because after Michael leaves, they start going through this interview process. And as I was watching it, I was like, oh, there's Robert California. Okay. And then they're like setting up Andy, like, oh, okay. And then Nellie was there, which I was like, I didn't know she came in that early. And then we're at like the very beginning of season 8. And that one like warehouse worker girl who like has a thing with Daryl is there in like the second episode.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I forgot like how early they set all of this up and kind of like set the stage for the rest of
the show post
the rest of the show. And I don't think it's bad.
Yeah.
But I still don't think The Office really found its footing without Steve Carell.
Do you think that, like, upon rewatch, you're giving it more credit now? Or is it still just kind of like,
Maybe. I think what also helps is, like, she's never seen it before.
Yeah.
So I kind of have this, like, I know what's happening, but to see it through a fresh perspective.
Yeah.
Like, of this new person who's never seen it. Is very interesting. And speaking of like fresh perspective, person who's never seen it, tonight we are starting Star Wars because she's never seen Star Wars. Well, no, that's not true. She's seen 4, 5, and 6, but it's been a while. So we're just going to rewatch all of them.
Right.
So we're starting with episode 4. We're going to do 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. And then I think probably Rogue One, Solo, and then 7, 8, 9. But then there's that part of me that's like, do I want to save 7, 8, and 9 until, like, before Rogue One and Solo? So if she hates those, I'm like, well, at least we have something good to look forward to after.
No, you need to give the true Star Wars fan experience of being like, well, maybe there is no hope left. You know? It's like, this is what it means to be a Star Wars fan, is to be like, yes, this, oh, gosh.
Oh, this is so bad.
Oh, my, somehow Palpatine returned. What like, I how am did we get here?
Very interested and very excited to see is her thoughts on the sequels. Because, like, I don't know if I've said this just to you or on an episode, but you and I are so ingrained, like, in Star Wars. Like, it's been such a part of our lives for so long. Obviously, we have much stronger thoughts, feelings, and opinions about the sequels. So to hear the thoughts, feelings, and opinions of someone who didn't grow up with Star Wars in the same way we did, I'm interested to see how she feels about it.
Yeah.
Because even when we talk about it, I try not to like inject too much of my own bias into talking about the sequels, because I don't want her to go into it and be like, oh, this is the one Nick doesn't like. Oh, this is the one Nick does like. Oh, this is the one that Nick hates.
Right.
Like, so I'm interested to see. We'll report back.
Interesting. That is interesting.
As for what else, I started a little Twitter drama this week, which is a side effect of being locked in my home for too long. Long story short, kids, going viral on Twitter is actually not fun.
No.
Everyone thinks going viral on Twitter is great.
Don't do it.
And it is when you look at like the number of likes. I just strongly encourage you to hit mute this conversation and not read any of the comments, as tempting as that is, because you will get some of the most vile, insulting, like dehumanizing comments over something that doesn't matter.
Yep.
Because all I said was insert fantasy anime. Oh, no, actually, I'll just say it. I said Frieren Beyond Journey's End is better than Mushoku Tensei. That was it. And I got some of the most, like, I got so much vitriol from these people. It was insane. I was like, you're insulting me over a fictional TV show.
Yeah.
It's not real. I'm not, it's not like I'm saying, yeah, we should do X political thing that's bad instead of X political thing that's good. You know, like things that actually have consequence in the real world. This is anime. These are fictional shows. It's not that deep.
Yeah.
And then like a couple of my other like Twitter mutuals also had tweets like that that left the target audience. So and we all started piggybacking off of each other. So it was really crazy. So going viral is not fun. That's the moral.
Don't
of the
do
story.
Viral, kids.
Don't do that.
Don't do viral, kids.
I have not gotten a message in my request telling me to kill myself yet, which is good.
yet.
I know people who did this week over again things that don't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Well, you know, that's the internet, baby. Like, you post a YouTube short about how you think a movie from 1985 is a little overrated, and then you get nothing but comments about, like, oh, Cocomelon iPad, baby, you just don't get it, you don't. Yeah. And I'm like, what do you want from me? Like, and I think we just kind of forget that free speech is like both ways. Like, you have the ability, I have the ability to say something stupid, and you have the ability to say another thing that's stupid. But like, you can't be upset that I said something stupid and then reply to my stupid thing from your perspective. It was stupid. You can't reply to something that you thought I said was stupid with something stupid.
Right.
And then get mad that I said that. Like, it's just like, we don't get it. Like, this is damaging everyone's brains. Like, this is bad for us.
And, like, the crazy thing about the anime, like, debate was that I meant that for my, like, core audience who follows me. Like, the very Christian, I want to watch anime, like, all this stuff. And it left that target audience, so thus the people coming in don't understand who the tweet was intended for.
Yeah.
But then we get into this new, like, nuanced discussion about, like, oh, well, you know, one of the tweets that came up that also, like, sparked conversation for a lot of different people was someone quote retweeted it and was like, well, if you haven't seen 500 anime, you shouldn't be allowed to talk about anime because you haven't seen enough to have an informed opinion. And I'm like, one, and my response to that was like, well, you're implying that quantity is greater than quality. Right. I would rather watch 20 really good shows than 500 of a mixed bag. And people are like, well, how are you going to know that they're good? And I'm like, you do a simple Google search, you know that stuff like Death Note, Attack on Titan, Frieren, My Hero, Demon Slayer, like you can, like, you know, like One Piece, right? You know what shows are generally regarded as good. Whether or not you think they're good is a different story, but you know generally what is going to be good.
I would also argue, like, you could walk into turning on any movie on Netflix, like, you could turn on a Netflix original rom-com and know it's not going to be a 5-star Martin Scorsese film.
Right.
Like, when you turn on The Godfather, you're kind of like, hey, this is one of those movies that it's culturally, like, known. This is really good. So it's kind of like, yeah, you need a base level of understanding of storytelling to know what's good, but also, like, that's why art is subjective. So it's kind of like, if I think it's good, I can just say that.
Right.
Like, based on what I know.
And here's the thing. It all just boils down to, how do I word this delicately? These people are gooners, like, in every sense of the word. And like, my biggest issue with Mushoku Tensei and what I talked about in the video I did on it, like, a year and a half ago, was the polygamy and how perverted, like, the main character is. And I was like, I just don't like that. Like, that's not my scene. Everything else is great, like, the magic, the world building, like, the animation, all of that. That's great. I can acknowledge that those are good. But these other two things are just, like, a really big turnoff for me, and I don't like that kind of stuff. So I just stay away from it. And then everyone in the replies are like, well, you're a tourist. You don't understand. This is what makes anime, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm just telling you I have a preference. Yeah. I'm not saying it doesn't, like, I'm not saying, we need to change anime and actually take all of this stuff out. I'm just saying I didn't like it. End of story. Yeah. And they're like, you don't like one of, what is one of the greatest isekai anime ever? No, I don't. End of story. Like,
yeah,
it's not that complex. So I'm. I don't want to. I don't want to go viral. Don't go viral.
Don't do viral, kids.
It's not.
Don't do viral.
That's been my snow week. I had to get off Twitter.
Don't.
I was like, I need to
do
something more productive.
Don't do viral. Yeah, I kind of like. So as a lot of you know, I'm still in school, still trying to like finish up that degree. You know, we on that grind, very close to the end. And I was just sitting there like this week in all these like online classes, like just like, man, how did we do this? Like we were for real in COVID, just like, yeah, I'll hop on online class. We'll just do online church. We'll just do online this. And this week, I mean, it was like 4 or 5 days like in just, you know, from snow week. And I was like, shoot, like no wonder that was so traumatizing because this is exhausting.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't do this anymore. So I've gotten a little stir crazy. I kind of went like, just, we'll just like go to the store. I don't know if you do this, but when you're just kind of like, I need one thing, but I just want to be here right now. So I'm going to do like 3 laps in the store. I'm going to look at the Legos. I'm going to look at this. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to pick up the dishwashing detergent that I need. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I was
like,
doing
like, you're just
laps.
Killing time. I get it. Yeah.
You're like, I don't actually care about the picture frames at Target. But like, in the moment, it was better than sitting in my living room. I was like, like, they seem to have more 11 by 14s than 8 by 10s.
And, like, you're brushing past other human beings, and you're like, oh, this is great.
Okay, like, society
is there's
real.
Other people. Okay,
yes.
Good.
And I'll tell you, like, when you live in a region that doesn't get snow, and then you get a lot of snow.
We're just not built for it.
We're not built for it. Like, we're 75% of the year in t-shirts kind of people. Like, this isn't our jive. And so when I, a 6'3", 225 man, can step on 3 inches of snow and it doesn't crack, we have a problem because that means it's too cold and there's too much ice. If I can't touch the ground, we're screwed. Call the president. We're cooked. So, yeah, that's kind of it. So I've also learned this week, the only thing scarier than driving in inclement weather is the other people driving in inclement weather.
Yes. No one in this godforsaken state knows how to drive
that's
in anything other than sunny skies.
Yes.
It's so infuriating.
It's insane. Because I'm like, look, the freaking snow, it's bad. Like, it's icy. Let's be careful. Let's not go full speed. Let's not take sharp corners. Let's not do that. Also, though, red light means stop. Like, it still means stop, by the way. Like, this isn't the purge. Like, it's not. What do you mean? And I understand, like, it's frustrating because, like, you know, you could sit at a red light cycle for, like, 3 times as long because everyone's going really slow. And you have to, like, you know, only 2 cars are going to go per green light because they're going really slow and it's whatever. A red light does not mean, well, 3 cars are going to go at a time. So even if it's red, if I'm the 3rd car, I could go. That's not how that works. Okay? Like, this, it's just been, like, really stressful. So anyway, I had to get that off of my chest as, you know, this is just like, I'm over it. I'm done. I'm not ready for summer because also keep in mind, I'm the sweatiest person on the planet.
Yeah. It's
so
like, I'm not ready for it to be hot out, but I definitely don't want it to be below freezing for the next
right.
7 days.
Like, maybe let's find a middle ground where I need a jacket and not gloves. Like, jacket, no gloves.
Upper 60s, like, low 70s. That's perfect.
Like,
can we just sit
even
there?
Like, if we need to hit like 55, like, oh, I'll bring a jacket, light breeze, it's whatever. But this whole like hat and gloves nonsense is, that's not me.
I just don't wear gloves.
It's not,
my hands get cold, they get cold.
Oh, I'm on that eczema train. I need those gloves.
Yeah,
dog.
That's fair.
I need that lotion. So, yeah, anyway, that's pretty much just been my mental state this whole week. But we've gotten to watch some interesting movies. I think what is, like, you can make fun of me for saying this, but I just feel like it's realistic and hopefully someone relates. Like, me and Amy have all these movies we always say we're going to watch. But by the time after like a long day of work, we come back and cook dinner, we sit down, like when it's time to start a movie, it's like 8 o'clock, 8:30. And so we want to be in bed at a good time. So like there's some really great movies that are just too long to watch on a weekday. And so snow days like this give us good opportunity to like kind of go through the backlog of movies that we wanted to watch. So we did watch Inception this week, which was her first introduction to my number five movie of all time. And it's kind of scary to watch movies that are on your top 10 that you haven't seen in a minute. Cause you're like,
what if it's not in the top 10?
What if it sucks? You're like, what if I hate it? Cause Inception's been in my top five since I was like 13 years old. So I was like, man, like what if it sucks? And I watched it and I was like, this is freaking peak. Like I cannot even lie. Like it might go back up to my number four spot. Genuinely. It's so freaking good. We also rewatched Puss in Boots, the Last Wish, okay, which is a banger. We were scrolling through Peacock, because sometimes you got to look at obscure streaming services when you can't pick a movie. And we were like, oh, Puss in Boots, that's a great movie. And I was like, awesome, yeah, let's watch that. And then I turned off Peacock, turned on my Xbox, and pulled out my DVD of that
good,
exact movie.
Good.
And she was like, why are you like, it was pulled up right there. Like, you're adding, like, 5 minutes to to start this movie. And I was like, yeah, I am.
Listen, man.
It's worth it.
I've been getting my attraction out of these Office DVDs that have been sitting on my shelf. Because we don't have Peacock. So yep. I was like, all right, I got you. I got a DVD player in my room. We're going to put the discs in. Mm-hmm. Do I have to keep switching the DVDs every, like, 5 or 6 episodes? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's cheaper than Peacock.
It is. It is. And it's yours forever.
And it's mine forever.
And here's the thing. Here's something about me. If you think that I'm going to pop in a DVD and watch a whole movie and not watch all the bonus features front to back after that movie, you are drunk. I am there every single time at the end of the movie watching the bonus features, because at the end of the bonus features for Puss in Boots, they have all of the full compilation of all of the lines that John Mulaney improvised and couldn't make it in the final film.
Oh.
So funny. Really great stuff on there. So we did that. We also watched, this was my first introduction to The Devil Wears Prada, which is kind of a like classic chick flicky movie. But they're doing a sequel. Keep in mind, the sequel's coming out 20 years after the original.
I love it when they do sequels 20 years later.
So this was a 2006 movie
that is getting a sequel. I hate that was 20 years ago.
I know.
Oh.
I turned 3 in 2006.
I turned 4.
Oh. Yeah. Gross. 2006. 20 years later is getting a sequel. With the same cast, supposedly enough. So I really liked it. But the most notable part was that we ended up like pausing it in the middle and having like a 30-minute conversation, because Amy was like, Stanley Tucci's in that movie. And she was like, that guy looks like Jim Cantore. Let me ask you, do you know who Jim Cantore is?
No.
That's what I thought. Because that's what I said. I said, who on earth is Jim Cantore? What? And she was like, you don't know who you don't know who like freaking out that I don't know who that is. Take a wild guess at who Jim Cantore is.
Is he from a movie? Like an actor?
No. He is on TV, but he's not an actor per se.
Is he like a celebrity host, like a Jimmy Kimmel type?
He is a host.
Okay. Jim Cantore. Is he like the host of like not Jerry Springer, because that's hosted by Jerry Springer.
Right.
But like Well, it's not To Catch a Predator. That's Chris
Hansen. That's Chris Hansen.
Is it like a show like that, though? That's like really weird? Not weird. I guess Catching Predators isn't weird.
Right. It's obscure.
What? So what is it?
Jim Cantore. She said, oh, he looks like Jim Cantore. Jim Cantore is one of the lead hosts on The Weather Channel. And it was insane that I didn't know who that was. And I was like, I paused this movie. I paused it. And I said, no one knows who that is. How do you know who the Weather Channel hosts are? Like,
that's so stupid.
And I was insane for not knowing. It was so funny. We were both laughing so hard. And we got in this like 30-minute conversation. We were messaging everyone we've ever met, be like, do you know who Jim Cantore is? And all of her family was like, yeah, that's the guy on the Weather Channel. And all of my family was like, no, we've never heard that name in our lives. Like, so that was honestly more more entertaining than The Devil Wears Prada was having the conversation about the Weather Channel. The other thing that's interesting that happened this week was I kind of had a revelation. And before you think, oh, what was it about? It was about Fortnite. Calm down.
Oh, boy.
So this morning, Friday morning, I didn't have work. I've been working all week on school and stuff. I realized I got a little sad because I realized this is the first snow week that I've had in maybe my life where I have not played a single video game. And I thought that was so depressing. And I was like, wow, I'm actually just been working all week. And I was like, man, I got to fix that. And I was like, I had an itch that I had. I was like, I want to play Battlefront 2 so bad.
Oh, must be and nice. I was like, I can't anymore.
Gosh, RIP Xbox.
My disk drive is busted, so I can't slide my disk in anymore.
And everyone's going to be like, well, if you had it digital, you wouldn't. And it's like, don't even talk to me. So
took 9 years for that disk drive to go out.
Here's the thing. I was like, oh, I'm going to play Battlefront 2. I'm going to, you know, just like the good old days. And I booted up, and it like gives me this whole spiel about Game Pass, Xbox Live, how I don't have this, I need to sign into this, I don't. And I was like, I don't really want to deal with that right now. And so I just went and played Fortnite. And I kind of like had this aha moment of like, huh, I don't necessarily think Fortnite is so popular for a lot of other reasons other than its sheer accessibility.
It's free.
It's free.
Because it's a free-to-play game, you don't need the online to play it.
Right. It's a free-to-play game. Online is free on any platform imaginable. You could probably play Fortnite on a digital pregnancy test if you wanted. Like, it is on every single freaking platform. So, like, it was so easy to just boot it up and hop in a game. I never got, like, you need Xbox Live, you need this account signed into this, you need the Game Pass thing, you need this. And I was like, shoot, I could hop on Fortnite and be in a game in 5 minutes.
Which, you know, as much as I'm not a PC bro, yeah, like, I think most PC bros are kind of obnoxious about it.
Right.
I will give them credit. I think PC has a better handle on the online.
It does.
And
really
honestly,
does.
Like, I, when you see those posts that are like, what's a scam that's become normalized? It's like paying for online.
Yes.
Like, I'm already paying my internet bill. And I understand it's like, oh, well, you're paying them so that they can, like, keep the,
servers
online and, like, all
yeah.
this stuff. And I'm like, I get that. But then explain to me why Xbox Live needs to cost me an arm and a leg, but Switch Online can be $20 a year.
Right.
Like,
now, even, like, $20 a year is kind of like, hey, just help us keep the lights on. Like,
right,
that is
like, $20 a year doesn't feel egregious, especially now when you're getting your online play, the backlog of Nintendo Switch Online, which has all kinds of stuff, which now has Virtual Boy games or will have Virtual Boy games. Some of which were never previously released, so that's huge for game preservation.
That's a big deal.
The Nintendo Music app, which I wish they would just put it there. And then all of your, you know, save data, which I also don't think should be behind a paywall, but that's neither here nor there. So think about all of that for like $20 a month.
Or
$20 a year. And then if you want to get the family plan, it's like $80, but like I split it with like four people and it's $20 a year.
Yeah.
And we all get the expansion pass. You get like the Mario Kart 8 DLC, some of the Animal Crossing DLC. Like there's stuff they put in there. Like I get the upgrade pack for Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom for Switch 2, completely free. So it's like those are actually really good perks for $20 a year, or I think to get the expansion pack it's 50, but that still comes in radically cheaper than the other two online subscription services. But my point being, I do think PC, and I think that's why a lot of people like playing on PC, is you can just play online for free. Like, you buy the game, you've already got your PC, just play the game. So, like, I understand it, and I do think that is part of the appeal of Fortnite.
It's so hard, because I also grew up just playing local multiplayer.
Right.
Like, I wasn't allowed to play online games. And so, when we first got to play Battlefront, like, the original Star Wars Battlefront was the first game I got to play online. And so, I was like, this is insane. Like, this doesn't feel real. And it was like, this is ridiculous. And you're like, oh, because I grew up playing Minecraft and Wii games where it was like, hey, everyone come over to my house so we can play freaking Rock Band together. Like, there was no online conversation happening. Now, there was like Call of Duty and Halo and all those games happening in the background. But that was like, online gaming has always had like a college young adult audience.
Right.
And so Fortnite almost like opened this new demographic of like, that younger demographic for online, which is freaking terrifying. I hate that we, you know, can market to 12-year-olds telling them to go online and play Roblox. But it's also like Fortnite reaches such a wide demographic because it's like my freaking, you know, 16-year-old brother and his like friends all play Fortnite, and then my 25-year-old coworkers and their friends play Fortnite. Like, it's so wide because honestly, like, it's just kind of a framework. Like, Fortnite is just kind of like quirky gun game .mp4. Like, it's not really,
which is funny,
Fortnite,
because if any game felt the need or the justification to ask you to pay for it, it would be Fortnite.
Yeah.
But then you think about like COD, Battlefield, Battlefront 2, all of these other games that are online, Minecraft, right? You have to pay $60-$70 to get in. Not Minecraft that much, but you know, like you have to pay to get in, and then you also have to pay the online, which is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And now I can't, like, the Minecraft conversation is so potent because I'm just like, what do you mean I need a realm? Like, as a Java player, I'm like, hey, I just want to play with my family. We live 10 minutes apart, but we can't like just LAN to each other.
Right.
But like, so now I have to pay $8 a month for a realm just so that we can play multiplayer. But I could just hop on Bedrock and, like, do it for free?
That way? Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Java is the better version of Minecraft, but Bedrock has the better multiplayer.
Yeah. And that's so hard.
That's the crazy thing.
Or I could just type in Hypixel whatever for free, and we could play on that. Like, they're so...
Which, the multiplayer thing is so stupid. Because you have to use your Microsoft account to sign into Java now.
Yes.
So there's no excuse like, oh, we don't have a unified account system for you to see your friends.
Yes, you
That's
do.
A lie.
Yes,
That's
you do.
A lie. Microsoft, don't you lie to me. We can't. We got to move on.
Some of y'all don't remember trying to remember your Mojang login for Minecraft. Okay.
Real.
Some of y'all didn't have that stupid little Microsoft autofill thing for your 360 Copilot, whatever the heck they call it. Some of y'all had to remember your Mojang login. And
True.
Gosh. some of y'all weren't there on April 1st when they would do a prank every year, and then it would like brick your server because it was so cracked. You weren't there. You wouldn't last an hour in the asylum that they raised me. All right. I gotta move on. Oh. All right, news time. But before we do that...
Wicked what? News time.
Hey, welcome to news time. But before we do that, I would just like to say, if you like what we do here on the Nerdiest Podcast, if you made it this far into the episode of us and our insane ramblings by this point, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you're liking that video. Make sure you're dropping a comment down below. Just give us some thoughts, or just say cool episode, or be like, that sucked, never do that again. So whatever you like, drop a comment down below. Any engagement to these episodes is just helps us keep the lights on. Also, make sure you send it to a friend that you think would enjoy. Word of mouth is a great way for us to grow. If you've been listening consistently, I know we kind of mentioned this, like you might get a slight ad break if you're listening on a podcast platform. We did switch distributors at the beginning of this year. We're chasing that bag. You know how it goes. So that just helps us keep the lights on and just do that. But we also we don't really get to monitor those ads because it's more similar to like a local radio ad service. So if there is an ad on there that you feel like is weird, doesn't like is poorly placed or is just inappropriate, whatever, please let us know because we can't monitor that. And so if you feel like that's wrong or something is up with it, just shoot us a DM on Instagram, leave a comment, whatever you need. But yeah, sorry about that. It just helps us keep the lights on. But
everybody's got to chase that bag in 2026.
We got to chase that bag. It's 2026. We're chasing the bag. So yeah, there's some interesting new stuff.
Wiki, wiki, like wow. News time. Bye.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Let me hear it.
So for starters, this is not huge for me, but this was really big for my fiance Maddie. Apple TV has gotten the exclusive rights to adapt Brandon Sanderson's Mistborn and Stormlight Archive. Mistborn will be a film franchise and Stormlight Archive will be a TV series. I have not read anything of his because I'm not a big reader, but she has. And according to her,
I don't know how to read.
This is a big deal.
It
and according to everyone I've seen on Twitter, this is a big deal. So I'm just going to take their word for it and assume that that is true. Because I've heard of Brandon Sanderson. Like, I know who he is. I just haven't read any of his stuff. So, this is a good get for Apple.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I feel like Apple TV definitely needs more stuff. Can't wait to see the first movie in like 2030 and then the second one in 2035.
Right.
Because they can only, because it's Apple and they can only handle like one production at a time.
Yeah. Now, I will say I'm also not this isn't my kind of reading, but I know I've heard of Brandon Sanderson enough to know this is a big deal. If he's crossed over into the kind of realm where I know who he is, it's going to be a big deal. Like, if I know who an author is, they've made it big. Like, because I don't follow that at all.
Right.
So, yeah, if that's a show you guys think you would want to see us cover, let us know. I think they're probably, honestly, I have yet to watch an Apple TV show that I've been disappointed by. So, I think this is a great thing for both of them, and I hope that they can I'm hoping, because I think that the Apple TV stuff is kind of coming out a lot better than Disney Plus original type, straight to DVD quality.
Because it does take a while, but it's because it takes a while that they maintain a higher level of quality.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I can let it slide.
I'm really excited about that. Yeah, that's exciting. No more comment because
no
I've never
more comment
read it.
I don't know what we're talking about. Next up.
The second I will listen, we watch a lot of shows and movies for this show. The second you make me read a book for this podcast is when I
quit. That's when I'm out.
All right. That's when it's
I
over.
Actually quit. No more podcasts.
Yeah. You best believe that we're going to have like 5 million ad breaks on an episode to where we read a book, because you're going to make that worth my time. I better see a bag at the end of it. All right.
So next up, we got the first trailer for Mall Shadow Lord, yes. which is one of the shows that was on my list of looking forward to.
Yes.
The trailer was good. It has a very good art style. The animation style is really good.
Yes. It looks beautiful.
I will say the trailer was, I don't want to say it was a nothing burger, but it didn't. I don't feel like it really told me what was going to happen in the show, because it's kind of like hype moment aura shot and then monologue and then hype moment aura shot monologue and then here's a really cool shot, the blare the music and then the hype end. Moment aura shot and then title and that's it.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I would hope that they drop some kind of more like plot focused trailer between now and April. I'll still watch it. Like I think it's going to be good. But
honestly,
when I saw the trailer, I just quote retweeted with that Michael Scott gif of like, I'm ready to be hurt again. Although the one place I do feel like Disney has not dropped the ball is the animated series. I don't know what it is about the animated stuff that they just lock in for some
reason.
They
cook.
So
it's almost like they're a freaking animation studio.
So I'm cautiously optimistic to see how it goes.
Honestly, I was pretty glad that they didn't give too much away, because I think that, I mean, we've said this a million times, like, our trailer economy is trash right now, because it's like, oh, why would I go see the movie? You showed me every single part that's actually going to matter in the trailer.
Right.
So I think this was maybe their way of, and so, because so, a trailer that doesn't give much away is in one of two camps. It's either, hey, we're trying to be mysterious so that we don't give away the plot and it's going to be really cool. Or it's like, nothing happens in the show, so we can't show you anything.
We have nothing to show you.
There's nothing to show. So I'm really hoping that this is, I'm really hoping that that's good. My question is, because I'm sure you want to cover it this year, is this one of those, like, you need to see the Clone Wars to get it kind of shows?
So,
because I know Amy would watch
sure.
it.
I'm not sure. I might consult your wife and see what she thinks, as like a fellow Clone Wars aficionado.
Okay.
And be like, could we just put Jackson through the Maul-specific episodes? So that he has the full context of where we've gotten here?
I just have this vision of you and her, like, in a conference room, like
we got like the crazy board behind it,
like shifting papers back and forth. Like, well, yes, but my client states that the Mall episodes of season 3, episode 12 is actually crucial for the Shadow Lord trailer, or because of this moment in this character. Objection, Your Honor. I think
you may not need to.
Yeah,
because I would imagine the show gives you enough context and is separated enough. But I don't think it would hurt, because I think in the grand scheme of things, there's maybe 15 episodes he's a part of in the Clone Wars.
Right.
Like, so maybe 14, 15 episodes you watch and then you watch the show, or you could just go into the show blind and do it
and
that
just be
way.
Like in any and but then like watch it with someone who's seen it, if it's just if something doesn't make sense,
right? Like watch it with Amy, so if you miss something, she'd be like, oh, that's
there.
X, Y, and Z,
and then I can be like, oh, have they said how many episodes this is gonna be?
I think 8, and they're dropping them 2 a week.
Okay,
from
I'm seeing
April
10.
To May 4th is the last.
That's so
episode.
Brilliant. That's
which
brilliant.
Is great. I'm glad they're doing 2 episodes a week instead of 1.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah, I'm looking at IMDb at 10 episodes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, starting April 6th, ending May 4th. I feel like that's a pretty good. I feel like that's a pretty good release window.
Do
like,
we have
hey,
an episode?
It's Mall
after
month.
That?
That's a great question.
Don't call it Mall month. No, we're
it's
not.
Mall month.
We're not doing that.
April is Mall month.
We do have an episode after that, actually.
Yikes.
It ends on May 4th.
Do we have an episode?
And we have an episode
the...
on the 11th.
Ooh.
And you'll be out of college.
I will be out of college.
All I'm saying, there's a vision here. We said there's we wanted vision. To cover more stuff that's new.
Right.
This year.
Also, weekly release is pretty, like, it's pretty easy to follow.
It's pretty
that's what
easily
sucks.
Sustainable.
Like, and I'll just, a spoiler, I'll just spoil what we're, some inside baseball. Like, we want to watch Wonder Man, because it's actually getting great reviews. That's the new Marvel show. But also, it's like, and it's only 8 episodes. It's like 4 hours total. But I'm like, if it was weekly, I could have kept up with it. I would have watched it weekly. But now right. I have to, like, awkwardly try to watch it all so I could be relevant in the conversation.
Right.
So, anyway. Also, an interesting point that I put on here is that we got a new trailer for the new Muppets show coming to Disney Plus. It looks interesting. I don't... It depends on what you mean by good. So, essentially, the Muppet show... Like, the Muppet show, like... That's what we're rebooting, and it is being rebooted by Seth Rogen, Maya Rudolph, and Sabrina Carpenter.
Those are three names that I would not normally associate with the Muppets.
Yes, but also once you think about it, think about Seth Rogen did the TMNT movie for Nickelodeon.
I guess that's true.
So he's been in that sphere. Maya Rudolph was in the Lego movie too. So it's not that. And she was in. Was she in Despicable Me? She's been in like those like kid voice acting roles before. And Sabrina Carpenter started on Disney Channel. And here's. Hold on. I'm not done. She started on Disney Channel. Do I condone anything she has done even on Disney Channel? No. I don't
I was
like
gonna
her
say,
at all.
She started on Disney Channel, but she's definitely not.
No,
she's
not
made a
brand
full
safe.
180.
Yeah, not brand
which is,
safe.
Which is why I'm so confused. Like Disney, yeah. To me, feels like they don't know what to do with the Muppets, but they need to do something so that they don't slip into obscurity. Which is why I'm like so confused. Like, why are they putting the Muppets on Rock and Roller Coaster? Like that does not feel like those two things fit together.
Well, it was interesting because this week, Tom Hamilton, I think it's. Yeah, Tom Hamilton, who's the bassist for Aerosmith, like he was at Disney World and rode Rock and Roller Coaster like for the last time. And it was just like, wow, that's crazy. And I'm like, why are we even changing this? Like,
right.
What's the...
Like, that's an unnecessary change.
But also, like, Aerosmith's technically retired now, but they're still releasing new music under the Aerosmith name. But it's
but you could put
to...
a different band in there. Like, right. You could put the Beatles in there, or you could put a more, like, modern
also, like,
band, like Imagine Dragons or something. You
oh,
know what I mean?
No, that
maybe
would
not
get
Imagine
so
Dragons,
much
but, like...
but that's the other thing is, we don't have bands anymore. Like, it's just artists now. But I would also argue, like, they closed 3D Vision, so I feel like they were like, we want to keep the Muppets in, but we don't want to do 3D Vision...
Don't even get me. I'm not going down that rabbit hole again of how that's such a bad like use of the land. Like,
yeah.
I,
but also think about how Rock and Roller Coaster comes out right at like Rizzo's Pizza and that Muppets gift shop that's been closed for a decade. Like, it's in the space though.
Well, no, Rock and Roller Coaster is next to Tower of Terror. On that side of the park, Muppet Vision comes out. By the Rizzo's Pizza and all of that, and they're gutting all of that for Monsters, Inc. land. That's why I'm saying it's such a bad use of the land, because Disney has all of this land in Florida, but you're somehow going to justify to me that the best, most important place that we could have ever, ever put that Monsters, Inc. land was in Muppet Vision. Ain't no way.
Yeah.
Ain't no way.
I don't know. I feel like as an see, here's the thing. Like, I grew up on Aerosmith. Like, my mom loves Aerosmith. But so, like, I love Rock and Roller Coaster. But I'm also like, if it's it, like, Aerosmith is technically retired, and it's slow. Like, I understand if they as a brand are like, hey, this isn't necessarily like relevant anymore. But it's also like, even just tying it back to what we're even talking about, like. we don't want to make another Muppets movie.
Right.
Because, you know, the Jason Segel one is phenomenal. Like, from 2011, just, like, 10 out of 10. I feel like everyone loves that movie. So now it's like, okay, we don't want to make another movie because everyone loved that one. And then we tried to make a sequel, and it wasn't really that good. So, like, we don't want a movie. So we did the ABC show that was really obscure and off, and no one really liked that. So we're doing the Muppet Show again. But it seems kind of like, have the Muppets really always been, like, the edgy brand for Disney? I don't feel like they have.
No.
I feel like they've been marketed in a modern sense as the edgy Disney thing. And I don't feel like that was very, like, original to Jim Henson's characters.
No. That whatever they're doing now is kind of like Star Wars, where it's like, yeah, we bought this thing, so now we're going to do whatever we want with it. Yeah. And I know Jim Henson has passed away, so it's not like he can have any voice, and, you know, which is unfortunate. But also, like, there's something to say about, like, you could do better.
Right. What's the, like, original vision?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to be watching that. Maybe if we don't do an episode about it, I might do a YouTube video about it. But yeah, also crazy news, Tomodachi Life Direct for the Nintendo fans.
All right, chat, let me lock in here for a second. So I don't know if anybody remembers, two episodes ago, I said that Tomodachi Life is going to accidentally be the most controversial game of 2026. At least in terms of, like, coming from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Because Nintendo had previously promised that they would add same-sex relationships into any future installments of Tomodachi Life. And everyone thought, well, that was 10 years ago. So maybe they've reversed course, given where the culture is at. Maybe they're not going to do that. And what I said was, if they put it in the game, one of the other side's going to be mad. If they don't put it in the game, this side's going to be mad. It's kind of a, you can't win for losing.
Right.
So then they announced this week that they were doing a full 20-minute Tomodachi Life Direct. I was seated 8 a.m. Thursday morning. All right? I was there. Now, granted, I was working, but I had it in my ear, and I was listening. And before I even touch on any of that, because I know that's what has dominated the conversation around Tomodachi Life.
Right.
I just want to say, that outstanding, this looks like an incredible game. They have given you so much customization with the Miis. You can draw on their faces now.
Yeah.
You can give their hair colors accents. There's so many different hairstyles. There's so many different things you can do. The clothing now, you can buy them separately and mix and match, which is something you couldn't do in the previous game. It was like one outfit, but now you can be like, oh, I want to put this shirt with these pants with these shoes and this hat. So, like, they've added all this customization. There's a whole shop where you can customize, like, wraps for the houses. You can make your houses look one way. You can put all of your, like, you can make tiles on the ground look one way. Think about, like, the level of customization that Animal Crossing has and put that into Tomodachi Life, because that's basically what they've done. And there's a really good shot at the end of the trailer where they talk about, because, like, when you first start the direct, the island looks really small. And for anyone who played on 3DS, like, you know, in order to add more Miis, they all went in this apartment complex that just kept getting higher, and you capped out at 100. So the island itself never needed to expand. But this one's a little more open. It feels more like The Sims, where you kind of just drop the Miis in, and you can kind of float around and see, like, oh, these two people are hanging out over here. This guy's hanging out over here, so let me pick him up, move him over here with these people. Like, it's a lot more open and a lot more free, so you can actually see what your Miis are doing and don't have to go to their apartment to see what they're doing, or, oh, there's somebody randomly at the fountain. And because of that, the island felt really small at the beginning, but then they show you, like, how massive you can actually make the island. And, like, you can make it huge. And then you can have all these different Miis move in together, even if they're not married, which is something that they changed, which is cool. Like, you can do, like, a group house. Of, like, oh, all eight of these people, which is another way to get kind of like consolidate and get more Miis per like square footage, I guess.
I'm looking at this trailer now and it kind of looks, I mean, this is like, this is going to be one of those like couple hundred hours playtime games. Like,
and
you,
like, you can draw in and add your own like pets and stuff.
Jeez.
So like, there's all like, it's just such a big expansive game and it looks incredible. I'm a little disappointed there's no like Switch 2 dedicated version that has like mouse mode, better graphics, but whatever, like it still runs on Switch 2, it's gonna be fine. Overall, I was genuinely impressed with the Direct because they hadn't said anything about it for so long. I was like, okay, how are you gonna do this? Like,
yeah,
what are we looking at? Because like the original trailer was like so bare bones. It was so nothing. And then they come out with this 20-minute Direct. And to start, I was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing with this game that you need a 20-minute Direct? Like, Mario Kart World didn't even get a 20-minute Direct.
Right.
Like, that's insane to me. And then they show off all of this stuff. And I was like, wow, that's incredible. Day one buy for me. I was already sold because I love Tomodachi Life and I'm really excited to like stick all of my Miis and stuff in there and like all of this different customization. And I was really glad. I was worried initially that to like try to get away from controversy, they would take like marriage and having kids out of the game entirely and just have it be more like a slice of life friend sim.
Everyone's friends.
But they didn't. So I'm very interested to see how all of that like shakes out. They didn't really dive into that. It was more of like, you can do this and then that thing can happen.
But also like, so, Nintendo doesn't care. Like they're so interested in making, like, you look at the details of this game and how many features they spent working on it. You know, they couldn't give a rip about controversy like at all.
Like
this like, is
it's still
really
gonna sell.
Expansive.
It doesn't matter.
Oh yeah.
They've added all of these new like hairstyles that are not in the normal Mii Maker. I don't think it's anywhere near as complex as the Miitopia one.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a step between Miitopia and the like default Mii Maker that's on Switch. Now,
also,
with all of that
Miis
said,
back to Switch, just bring all the Miis into Switch. Like, my goodness.
That said, I can't talk about this and not talk about like the one thing that has caused controversy here, because I'm actually kind of middle of the aisle. Well, I don't want to say middle of the aisle, but like, remember when we talked about how people get upset over things that in the grand scheme of things don't matter?
Right.
Because it's like an anime or whatever.
Because it's fiction.
So, in Tomodachi Life, it should also be noted they added elf ears. Like, you can customize the ears now, so that's huge for people who want to add, like, Link and Zelda into the game. So,
this is really cool.
As I said, controversial by accident.
Yeah.
But also, like, there was no avoiding this. And as I was watching, the Direct, I was like, okay, what are the odds they put the same sex in there? I was like, 70-30. Like, I was more in favor, like, they're just going to do it because they already said they were going to. Like, it was a foregone conclusion at this point. I was more interested to see how they were going to do it. Because in Tomodachi Life on the 3DS... Well, one, that game came out in 2013. But also, like, you kind of aren't as involved in the dating choices. Like, your Mii can just kind of decide who they want to date whenever. Now, granted, it was all, like, heterosexual. Like, it was all straight stuff. So that wasn't really a thing. So I was interested to see how they were going to do it in this game specifically. And what they did... and this is the one that's caused controversy, is under gender, it's male, female, and non-binary, which is so funny because in every other like language, it's just listed as other. So that's definitely just a localization thing. So you can go talk to Nintendo of America about that one. But what they also do is once you pick the gender, you can set the dating preferences.
Oh.
So like, if you want to do same-sex stuff on your island, you can. If you don't, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
It's optional, which I said on Twitter, I think this is the best way they could have gone about it to try and appease everyone, because then you're still putting that in there for the side who wants it and who asked for it, but you're not forcing it on the rest of the audience who doesn't want it or doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I know a lot of people on, like, the more conservative side who see this and they're like, oh, Nintendo's gone woke. Oh, Nintendo's done this, done that. I did a whole tangent about woke before. And as someone who is on the conservative side of the aisle, this is kind of a nothing burger. Like, yeah. And they're like, but it shouldn't be in a kid's game. And I'm like, you know what? Whatever. You're right. Like,
yeah.
I can acknowledge that I don't agree with that ideology or that lifestyle. But if your kid sees that and asks about it, then maybe that's on you as a parent to have a conversation with them about why you don't believe that or why you do. This is like, you as a parent are responsible for explaining this stuff to your kid. You're like, well, they shouldn't be exposed to it at such a young age. And it's like, well, you're right. But like, also, this is the world we live in. Like, we can't keep hiding under a rock and pretending that these things don't happen, because then you send your kids out into the real world and they're woefully unprepared for what's waiting for them out there.
Right.
So it's like, if you don't want them, you know, if you don't want them to play Tomodachi Life because of it, okay, that's fine. That's your prerogative as a parent. But also, don't go rage posting online like this is some non-expected thing.
Like, it's the end of the world. Yeah.
Like
you're going to be upset at the world for being the world.
And one of my biggest things, and I'm going to add to our list of leave it in 25, and I'm sure this will be a continuing theme, is let's leave it in 25. Right-wingers and conservatives not using critical thinking when discussing media. Because there's all kinds of drama with Dispatch being censored on Switch. I'm not getting into that. I'm so done with talking about censorship. Yeah. It's not even funny. So there was that earlier in the week, and then there was the Tomodachi Life stuff on Thursday. And I saw this tweet from a, like, you know, more conservative, right-leaning person. They're like, ah, first Dispatch, now this in Nintendo. Add a new female CEO. Nintendo's gone woke. And I just responded to it, and I was like, okay, listen. I'm not going to sit here and tell you have to like that there's a non-binary option in Tomodachi Life, which, again, is such a nothing burger. Talk to your kids if you don't agree with it, or just don't buy them the game. End of story. Like, we don't need to do performative outrage on the internet because otherwise we're no better than the people we make fun of.
Right.
But to blame this kind of stuff, let's use our critical thinking skills here for a second. Mm-hmm. To blame this kind of stuff, like the Dispatch censorship and the Tomodachi Life gender options, on a new president who has not even been in for a full month yet, is just wrong. It's just incorrect. Yeah. Tomodachi Life was announced a year ago. It's been in development for several years. They also, like I said, had previously said that this was something they were going to add in future installments of Tomodachi Life. The Dispatch stuff. It was discovered that the key art for the game on the eShop was censored in December before she took that role. Dispatch for Switch and Switch 2 has been in development for, like, months.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying you can't be critical of Nintendo. I'm not saying you have to like the stuff that's in the game. If you don't like it, don't buy it. That's my moral of the story.
Yeah,
but to put it all on this president simply because she's a woman is just wrong. That's not, you're not making conservatives look at, when people who are left leaning say that conservatives don't know what they're talking about in media, it's stuff like this, where it's like very simple critical thinking skills, or doing like 2 seconds of I did like 30 seconds of research before I did my tweet and found a rebuttal for every single one of those points.
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's not hard to go on Google and research these things, or even just use critical thinking skills like the Dispatch censorship. Let's talk about all of the different games that are on the eShop that aren't censored, right? Like, Cyberpunk was one of the big launch games for Switch 2. We all know what's in that game, so clearly that's not a problem. I really want and desperately need conservatives to start using their critical thinking skills when talking about media. Otherwise, this is why you lose the culture war. Because you're just, you don't understand what you're talking about. You refuse to research it because it's so much easier to just tweet a picture of the non-binary thing on Tomodachi and be like, ah, Nintendo's woke. End of story.
And that gets more clicks than
level-headed argument. It's a grifting thing.
Yeah.
So that's my leave it in 25.
Yeah.
Is just, let's stop not using our critical thinking skills. TLDR. I'm excited for Tomodachi Life. I will be there April 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited. I'm going back through and updating all of my Miis. And instead of calling you a lookalike, they call you the leader now. And I don't think the Miis that will exist on my island are ready for the leader-made horrors beyond human comprehension that they will have to go through.
Oh.
So I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
And
good
that's that about that.
Final thing we kind of wanted to get into on this episode was wrap up, because we really don't have a ton to say. We like, if you follow the show, you know, we don't like the Oscars. No, like, it's kind of movies that we don't
really watch.
It's hard because the Oscars, I want to care and I want them to be prestigious and to be like, wow, they won an Oscar. But every single year, I'm just more and more disappointed by the actions that they take to be like, well, you know, there's just so many like under the table plays that I just can't get behind. And also every single movie that's nominated is this R-rated, like, demonic, crazy, like, I don't want to sound insane, like, I don't want to sound like this conspiracy theorist, like, you know, crunchy mom that's like, you can't watch this, but like, so many of these movies just don't appeal to me. Like, if they appeal to you, that's fine. I'm not saying that they're not, all of them are terrible, but they're just like not my speed. And that's kind of what this show was for. Like, we created the Nerdiest Podcast to be this place where you could just like what you like and, like, kind of get away from the film bro culture that the internet is so prone to. So, that being said, we don't have a ton to say about the Oscars, but I think there's some interesting points to be brought up in some of the categories we care about. So, I'll just go from top down. Actor in a leading role, Timothy Chalamet, Leonardo DiCaprio, Ethan Hawke, Michael B. Jordan, and then Wagner Moura. Never heard of that person or the movie it's in. That's the thing. Like, where are these movies playing? I haven't heard of half
of these
movies. Like,
who are you?
Who are you? But TBH, I hope Michael B. Jordan gets it, because I think that, you know, Timothée Chalamet, Marty Supreme, like, that was kind of the big movie of the end of last year. The marketing was great. But, like, I feel like what Michael B. Jordan did in Sinners, just on a technical level, is out of this world. Like, he played, keep in mind, he played two characters in that movie that were pretty much always on screen together the whole time.
Pulled a good old Liv and Maddie type.
Oh, he went. That's a crazy reference to pull when talking about Sinners. oh, so it's like Liv and Maddie. Like, so it's.
That's so it's how like Liv and Maddie, right?
That's how you get shot, like, talking to a film bro. Like,
I was being shot 47 times.
Oh, so like Liv and Maddie? I hope Michael B. Jordan gets it. Just because I think that was genuinely super impressive. I think if someone else was going to get it, based on what I know, I may be wrong, I think it's going to Timothée Chalamet. Just because of the buzz, just because of the hype. Like, Marty Supreme was the Oscar movie. Like, it was meant for Oscars. Supporting role, based on what I've heard, is probably going to go to Sean Penn for One Battle After Another. So I have not seen that movie, so I'm going to move on. Actress in a leading role, I have unfortunately not seen any of these movies. Kate Hudson got nominated for Song Sung Blue, which I do want to watch, but I never got to. It's probably going to go to Emma Stone again because she just kind of always gets the Oscar. Actress in a supporting role. I've heard Ellie Fanning was really good in Sentimental Value. I do hope that Amy Madiging, or however you say her name, wins for Weapons. But, all right, all the way down. Animated feature film. All right.
All right, here we go. Thank you.
You think we care about any of this crap? Nah, show me the cartoons. Show me cartoons. So, best animated feature film. Arco. Have you heard of Arco at all?
Nope.
A-R-C-O. Let me look this up.
I have not. I assure you.
Ooh. It has Natalie Portman in it.
Wow.
Arco is a 10-year-old boy from a peaceful future who accidentally travels back in time to the year 2075. Discovering a world in peril, he bands together with a young girl and her robot caretaker as she takes on a quest to return home. It looks kind of bizarre, but it looks really good. So, you know, it was nominated for an Oscar. It can't be terrible. I say that, but then again, next nominee for animated feature is Elio.
I have some serious gripes with that, but I'll let you finish.
Can I just say that...
No.
Can I just say that if Elio wins an Oscar for Best Animated Feature Film, I can... Hold on. Boop, 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 hold on. Who is... Oh, it's the president. He just declared a national state of cooked, because that's what's happening if Elio wins.
We're defunding the Oscars.
Word.
Elio won Best Animated Feature. Can't have that.
Can't have that. Listen, Elio's the worst movie of 2025, and you can show me a worse one. That's all I'm going to say. I sat in that theater with hope, like an idiot, and I gave them a chance, and I said, Pixar, what have you done? Listen, men will make a Pixar movie before going to therapy. Like, I don't need your $200 million trauma dump in the theater. Show me a more nothing burger movie from 2025. I dare you. Oscar nominated. No. You're fired. Come to my office. You're fired.
More nothing burger? Minecraft movie? What? Who said that?
No. We're not talking about that.
Tron so, Ares? What?
Well, yeah. All right. But also on this list... K-pop Demon Hunters, listen.
Sweep.
We're going up,
sweep,
up, up.
Sweep.
K-pop sweep. This is clinically insane. I know. We will never stop glazing this movie, but it's so freaking good. And I just think that if it wins the Oscar, like, I will... Like, I've always described this movie as, like, the hardest movie to sell to your parents based on the title alone. And yep. So if it wins an Oscar and they open up that little golden envelope and they have to say on air K-pop Demon Hunters, I'm just going to jump up and like throw my hands in the air. I'm going to be so excited. Like that's going to rip. I would love that. Also up is Little Amir or the Character of Rain. It looks maybe Japanese. I thought it was originally French, but it has really, really good reviews. I would hope so if it's Oscar nominated.
Could you imagine if they just put a really bad movie?
They did. It's called Elio. Ba-bam-ka. Oh man. This is kind of hot commentary you get on the Nerdies podcast an hour and a half in. Also up there, Zootopia 2. Here's the thing, y'all. Zootopia 2, so freaking good. But dude, Zootopia 2, this is one of those picks for the category that I'm like, this is a great pick. Like, I'm really glad it's there. I don't see it winning. Like, I can't explain it really. Zootopia 2 is not the kind of movie to win an Oscar. It's really, really great. It's 5 stars. Well, not might it be 5 stars. I think it's amazing. I saw it in theaters twice. Loved it. Please go watch Zootopia 2. But I'm really just like, please, Jesus, let K-pop or Zootopia 2 win. Like, if it's not K-pop, give it to Zootopia. Just give it to not Elio. Like, I'm pulling the General Hux. Like, I don't want you to win. I want him to lose. Like, anything but Elio.
You know what my favorite part about this category is that it forces a bunch of pretentious film critics to watch a bunch of movies intended for a general family audience, and they have to sit through them.
Yeah.
Because they have to
watch
have
it.
Seen the movie to be able to vote. So, like, all of these judges had to watch K-pop Demon Hunters. And I just think that that's fine. If it doesn't win, oh well. But that's just funny to me.
That's funny.
That, like, all of these pretentious, like, oh, yes, Oppenheimer is movie of the year. Sinners is the greatest film created of all time. They got to watch K-pop Demon Hunters like the rest of us normal people.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's funny to me.
That's awesome.
Is that everyone on the nominee list?
That's everyone.
Okay, can I go on a tangent here?
Yeah, go for it.
Can I go to... You know what? You know who's not?
Who's not on there?
Who's not on there? Who should have been on the list?
Who's not on there?
Little movie. Little, you may never heard of it. Franchise, new franchise this year. Demon Slayer Infinity Castle.
Yeah.
Hello. What the Sigma? It's, I'm biased because I like anime. I've got all of my Demon Slayer manga volumes up.
Right.
Infinity Castle was my number 2 movie of 2025. But even from an objective standpoint, what's infuriating is that Elio made it in a movie that does not push the boundaries of animation, that does not do anything new, that
didn't
does not try to tell a good story, and rated lower by the same film critics who vote in the Oscars than Demon Slayer. And you're telling me that all of the work that Ufotable did to learn how to do 3D CG, how to composite, how to blend 3D and 2D animation to create this massive Infinity Castle with incredible stellar animation for a almost 2.5 hour long movie. And you're telling me that from a quality, objective standpoint, Elio deserves to be up for an Oscar more than Demon Slayer. I'm not even saying Demon Slayer had to win. I didn't think Demon Slayer was going to win. If it got nominated, I always thought that Demon Slayer was going to lose to K-pop or any of the other movies up there, because the one thing, or I guess the two things going against Demon Slayer is, one, you have to watch the entire anime leading up to it. You can't just jump into the movie.
Yeah.
But also the movie is part 1 of 3. So the movie itself isn't even, like, a complete story. Like, Mugen Train, the prior movie, you could kind of jump into that without having seen the first season of the anime and have a little bit better understanding of what's going on. So, like, if that was the reason that, you know, Infinity Castle didn't get on there, that's fine.
Yeah.
But let's even talk about, like, the Chainsaw. Like, I'm no big fan of Chainsaw Man. But the fact that Chainsaw Man didn't get nominated either, like, Hollywood, be careful. Yeah. Your bias is showing. Like, let's
Heaven
not
forbid,
even talk about,
which
what
is,
was that, what was that Chinese film that's, like, the highest grossing animated film of all time?
I'm going to...
Like, we can't pronounce the name. You know what I'm talking about? It's like Nezha or something.
It's like, it's like Nezha.
Like, that didn't
2.
Even get nominated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So clearly it's not just a, like, oh, well, we don't, like, we can't do Demon Slayer or Chainsaw Man because they're continuations of, you know, anime series. Like, that was an original movie that also didn't get nominated. And I saw someone put it this way on Twitter, and I think this is the best way to summarize it, is Hollywood will never let a non-Studio Ghibli anime movie up for an Oscar unless it's like a Makoto Shinkai movie. I feel like someone of his level is kind of the exception, but like him or Studio Ghibli or maybe a couple other like big names, they will never let an anime film get in the Oscars, because to do that is acknowledging that the Western film industry is failing so much that a different country can make better art, which is right. true, which is why so many people shift to manga and anime. There was actually a really interesting article from the president of DC Comics coming out and being like, oh yeah, you know, I really love that, you know, manga and anime is so successful. And it started this whole conversation of like, well, manga is more successful than comics, because if someone asked me, where do I start My Hero? I'm like, oh, volume one. That's it.
Yeah.
Volume 1 to 42, complete story right there. If yeah. If I ask someone, where do I start with Superman? They're like, well, do you want this Superman, this one? And yeah. you know, you get like 30 volumes in, or 30 issues in, rather. And then it's like, all right, well, we reset the world because we got to switch writers and artists, but it's still the same continent. And like, it's really like needlessly convoluted and confusing. And obviously there's all kinds of like Western ideology that is now infected comics that has not done so with manga and anime.
Yeah.
But I think them not letting anime in solely because it would be an admission of guilt.
Yeah.
It would be an admission that Hollywood has been on its last legs for years, and
yeah.
the best we can offer up is Elio and Zootopia 2. Like, yeah. Disney gets outdone in one of those. Like, right. you said Zootopia 2 is good, and I trust your judgment. But,
yeah.
like, Elio, for example, I looked this up, has an 83% from critics. Demon Slayer has a 98%.
Yeah.
You're telling me that critics think Demon Slayer is a better movie than Elio and Demon Slayer doesn't deserve to get nominated for an Oscar? I don't believe it.
Yeah. And that's
Chainsaw Man has a 96.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's just crazy to me. And there's a bigger conversation about like Hollywood has this disdain for
Japanese animation. Like, it's just a bubble. That's what you have to understand about the Oscars, too, is it's the same 100 people that, you know, just do their California thing. And anything outside of that is just kind of like whatever. And so I see your point. Like it's, you're right. It's like, how is that one of the biggest movies of the year? And it doesn't even touch what just an absolute train wreck that was Elio. And there, but also like, you know, it's just kind of like there's all these arbitrary things that like have to meet to be like qualify for an Oscar. And like Frankenstein, you know, got nominated for an Oscar and it played in like 3 theaters across America. Like, but it played in the right theaters in the right locations for the right amount of time. And Netflix intentionally put it in those theaters for that time period so that it could be up for an Oscar. Because streaming movies don't really get to do that, but then K-pop isn't. So this is kind of like a weird, like, what counts? Like, why? Like, what qualifies for an Oscar?
Right.
And we've just been lost for the last, like, 10 years, 20 years, like, however long, of, like, what does this actually mean? Like, what does it mean to win an Oscar? What does it mean to be nominated?
Right.
Because we seem to kind of lost the sauce. Like, why?
Well, so. This same issue with the Oscars happens now with the Game Awards. Like,
yeah.
you look at the Game Award. The best example I can remember of this is back in 2022, Xenoblade 3 was up for a bunch of awards. It was like best RPG, game of the year, best soundtrack, all this stuff. I think it took best RPG and that's it.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, 2022 was kind of stacked when it came to game of the year, but also like the fact that Xenoblade didn't win best soundtrack when they made 160 tracks for that game and created an entirely new type of flute to record
yeah.
music for that game. All of the time and effort and work put into that, and you're telling me the God of War Ragnarok soundtrack is better?
Yeah.
And it all comes
so
down to
hard.
Like the people who judge the Game Awards, they've never played Xenoblade.
Yeah.
They watched an overview trailer so that they kind of understood what they were looking at, because you know, that's just not their type of game. And I think the Oscars yeah. has done good work in the past couple of years, which, you know, you kind of wonder, like, why was this not allowed before? But it was like, if you're going to vote, you have to watch every film in that category to vote in that category. Otherwise, you don't get a voice. And I'm like, I'm sorry, that wasn't a rule.
That wasn't already established.
Like, I'm glad that's a rule now, but it wasn't before. Like, what?
Well, I'll never forget. I'm trying to remember if it was Toy Story 3. It was a movie like that where one of the members of the Academy was like, after, and I don't remember if it won or lost or the context, but they essentially said after, like, oh, I voted for that one because my grandkids said that it was pretty good. And I remember that was such an uproar because it was like, well, this is a joke. Like, you haven't seen this movie. That's right. Why I can say, like, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like Michael B. Jordan deserves this based on his technical ability in the film that I saw. But I didn't get to go see Marty Supreme. So, like, maybe Timothy Chalamet did a better job. I don't know. And so I'm not going to be, like, pissed about my uneducated opinion. And that's why I never, like, predict the Oscars. Because I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know or kind of care. So we'll see what happens. But I don't know. I might watch this year.
Just 2 more years. Is it 2 or 3 more years until it's on YouTube?
2028, I think they're going exclusively streaming on YouTube, which I'm like, that's an insane decision. Proving that
2 more years.
Well, also think about, like, your primary audience of people that care about film is now on YouTube and they don't really have cable. So how are they supposed to watch this big award show? You know, it's always like
cable. I was listening to a prior episode today.
Oh gosh.
And I made a bold prediction way back in like 2021.
Oh no.
That cable TV was going to be completely irrelevant and eradicated by 2025, which is not true.
Not
thankfully
true at
all,
so, no.
Because I'm employed at a cable TV station, so I'm like, past
that
me was trying to put future me out of work.
That was close.
But I just thought that was interesting. I was like, cable will be gone in 4 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, maybe another
so
4 years.
Also, in 2021, like, streaming was, like, the thing. Like, we were
it was
so
the hit new
in
thing.
On the streaming
we didn't think
thing.
Streaming was going to crash or hit a brick wall. Little did we
or
know.
Destroy everything we loved, but
also true.
Yeah, unless you have anything else to add, I think that's the end of the episode.
No, I think I'm good.
I think I'm good. Hey guys, thank you so much for sticking with us through this kind of random episode. But we kind of just wanted to, like, throw stuff at the wall because there was a lot going on, but there wasn't, like, one big thing to talk about. So if you enjoy this type of episode, let us know. Drop a comment down below, and we can do more like this if you like. Or also, if you like this kind of stuff, also make sure you become a YouTube member and watch the Nerdiest After Show. Right, and it's $5 a month, flat fee, and you get full access to that. You become a channel member. It really just helps us on that. We'd also like to thank our YouTube member, RetroPlaid Guy. Thank you so much for supporting the show, just helping us do this whole production. This is fully independent. So if you like what we do, leave a 5-star review, follow us on Instagram, subscribe on YouTube. All the links are in the description down below, and we will see you in the next episode. But until then, bye.
Bye.
Bye.